Praise the Lord. Brother Roger Sharp, man, he's got a beautiful voice, doesn't he? Thank you, choir. Amen. The choir. Praise the Lord. We got some of the best musicians around here than anywhere in the country. Amen. I tell you what, I put our music team up against anybody. Because they good. All right. You know, how many times that we realize that you can see something and yet somebody else can see it also, and they got a completely different story about it. Anybody ever notice that? You know, like I have been where there have been an accident and three or four of us witnessed it, and they ask us about it, and each one of us had a different insight on it, different look. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because of the position that we were at, that's what we saw. The position they were at is what they saw. We need to see life God's way. Seeing life God's way is what I want to talk about today. You know, this is one of the keys to having the Word of God come alive in your life and all of His promises come alive in your life, because it helps us to see things the way God sees them and take action in line with the way God says it in the Word of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Praise the Lord. We got several scriptures, but I'll give you a chance to turn there. I'm going to be reading from the New King James and the NLT quite a bit today. All right. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, the NLT says it a little different. So we don't look at the troubles we can see. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we walk by faith, not by sight. We all know that. NLT says it, for we live by believing and not seeing. I sort of like that. We live by believing and not seeing. You know, Paul tells us that we need to walk in line with what the Word of God says, not according to the way we feel, according to the way we see things in the world that we're living in, but we need to see it according to what the Word of God says to us. You know, we have a choice. You can look at something negatively, or you can look at something pessimistically. Or you can look at something positive and look at it from an optimistic standpoint. Do you know that? You know, one person sees problems, the other person sees possibilities. One person sees a glass and it's half empty. Another person sees that same glass and they say, oh, it's half full. Hello? How many know what I'm talking about? You know, you're looking at it, they're looking at it one way. It's the same glass. It has, you know, I could look at this and say, well, that's three quarters full. Or I could say, well, it's a quarter empty. You know, while I got that, I might well just take a drink. Is that all right with y'all? Y'all not doing the talking, I am, okay? So I need a little bit of wetness there. Okay. You see, you know, you may go outside and you're looking at your flowers and or your bushes and your trees and so forth, and they all look good to you, but you bring a proper person that is trained in horticulture, and they they see something different than what you see. Oh, there's some mite on this. Look at that leaf. Well, it looked like a leaf to me, but they see a problem. How many know what I'm talking about? You see, we need to train ourselves to see things the way God sees them. Turn to your neighbor and say, see things the way God sees them. Now, turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. Now, what has happened here? The prophet Elisha is telling the king of Israel where the Syrian army is, and the king of Israel is just beating him every time he turns around. So he found out where he was, where Elisha was, and he sent his army and surrounded the city of Dothan. Now here, we pick it up reading here in 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, we know what had happened because Elisha had all been telling, because God would tell Elisha, Elisha would tell the king, and the king would go out and defeat the king of Syria. You know, Syria has always been a thorn in the side of Israel, and it still is today. Just go back and study it in Bible history, and go back and study it in world history. It's there, okay? Now, this servant went out, and he saw this situation, but he was looking at it in the natural. Hello? He was looking at it from the natural, and it was a hopeless situation. There was not a chance that they were going to get loose. Humanly speaking, it was impossible to have escape. But when the servant began to see it in the spirit, he saw that the forces were with God were more than those that were with the army. In the natural, the residents of Dothan there, they were outnumbered. They didn't have a crying chance. But Elisha then prayed that the Lord would strike them with blindness. And he went out, and they didn't recognize who he was. And he told them, he said, "Hey, you need to go down to this other city because that's where he is." And they all left and went down there. Read it. It's in there in the Word of God. You go read it there. 2 Corinthians 6:18, you can read that. See, we need to understand that as we begin to believe God and stand on God's Word, God can cause the enemy, the situations, the circumstances that's coming against us to turn and go the other direction. Hello. Now, see, you've got to look at things the way the Word of God says them, the what God says, not what you feel, not what you actually see in the world. You know, now, I'm not talking about walking out in the street out there, you see a car coming and you walk out in front of it because God's going to take care of it. That's stupid. All right? There are certain things that we need to look at in the natural. But I'm talking about when we're facing the opposition of the enemy that's coming against us, we need to look at it with the eyes from the Word of God. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. You getting this morning? Look at Abraham, Genesis 15, Genesis 15, first verse. Genesis 15, the first verse. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servants will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up to the sky, count the stars if you can. That's how many your descendants you will have." Now, here we find Abraham at a weak point. See, God has spoken to him several times and promised him descendants. Yet time had passed, and there was still no children. Now Abraham and Sarah were beyond childbearing age. And because he got weak in faith, looking at it from the natural and not from what God said. Humanly speaking, yes, it was impossible. All hope was gone. But in order for the promises of God to come true, Abraham had to have a revelation to see it the way God saw it. See, God told him he would have descendants from he and Sarah. He took him outside and he showed him the stars. And he said, "There, look at the stars. If you can number them, that's how many of your descendants will be." Now, when Abraham began to see this from the perspective that God had, he began to believe what God said. And then you can go read it in Romans 4, 20 and 21. After he got the revelation of seeing it the way God saw it, it said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. You see, once he began to see it God's way, his faith grew strong. He didn't waver. He continued. He was fully convinced, fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he would do. You see, like Abraham, you may be facing a situation in your life that is impossible in the natural. But look at it from the way God looks at it. God says that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. He wants you to see them the way he sees it, not the way you see it. God sees things differently than we look at things. We look at it and we see a problem. God says opportunity, just to prove that the devil is still wrong. Hello. See, from God's perspective, nothing is impossible. God doesn't not look at things with an impossibility. He never looks at something and says, "There's no way out. There's no success." He always has an answer and a solution for every situation. See, in our daily living, we operate too much in natural possibilities. We go by what we see instead of what the Word of God says. We go by what we hear instead of what the Word of God says. We go by what we are experiencing and not what the Word of God says. Or we go by what we've experienced in the past and not what the Word of God says. We lean to reason and not to what the Word of God said. The Word of God says, lean not to your own understanding. In other words, lean not to reasoning. So many times we try to figure out how that it can be done. And if you just simply believe God and let him take care of it, you'd be a whole lot better off. But you're sitting there trying to figure out how God reasoning it out. No, hey, forget about what you see, forget about what you feel, and begin to believe what the Word of God says, because His resources are readily available to you. They are there to sustain you, to support you, to see you through to victory. God wants you to see things from His perspective. That's why He gave us all the promises in the Word of God. If you want to know how God looks at things, read the Bible. That's the way He sees things. The promises of God are the supernatural solution to every problem that we face. I don't care if you can figure it out. These promises are the solution. How? I don't know. I don't know how God's going to do it. In fact, that's the problem. You quit worrying and being concerned, probably would be a better word, about how God is going to take care of something, and be strong in your faith, knowing that He's going to take care of it. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. We don't think that high. Hello. See, the promises of God reveal what is possible with God. See, in the natural, we're sick. In the natural, there may be no hope, but by His stripes we are healed. In the natural, we don't have enough money to pay the bills. But the promises of God say God supplies all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Hello, come on now, stay with me. In the natural, we may be in great danger. But the promises of God said He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You need to appropriate that. You know, I tell my grandsons, Lynette and I do it every time we get in the car, to go anywhere, do anything, claim the 91st Psalm. He'd bless our going out and our coming in, and with long life, well, He satisfies. Hello. In the natural, it may look like you're going down. It may look like there's nothing but defeat. But in Romans 8:37 says, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Hello. See, the promises of God reveal to us what God wants us to have. We go back and we've quoted it many times in John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, that's Christ, Jesus, our Lord, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Right there, it tells you what God wants for you. He wants you to have life and more abundantly. It's not abundant life when you don't have enough to get a lot, pay your bills. It's not abundant life when you don't have, when you're sick in your body. It's not abundant life when you're worried and concerned about everything. But you see, that's why Peter said, cast all of your cares, all of your burdens over on Him. See, and let Him carry it. Because see, we need to see it the way God said. God said, cast all your cares over on me. Cast means throw. Hello. See this bottle right here. I hope you catch it. I'm going to cast it away. Bad throw. You had a good catch. Bad throw. See, I cast that away. Right? Now, I can go down there and pick that up and try to get it, pick it back up and get it. But that's not why God wants you to cast your burdens on Him. See Him carrying your burden. See Him delivering you. See Him setting you free. You see, He wants you to see it the way God, He wants you to see things the way He sees it. He sees you well and healthy and happy and whole, living the good life. Hallelujah. We need to see ourselves that way. You know, I mean, any of you that have played sports, coaches have come to you. They come by and they said, see yourself. running and catching, used to me, I talk about me, see yourself catching that touchdown pass. See yourself shooting that basket. I was playing fast pitch softball for Southside Assembly. We had a really, really good team. We played in Dallas. And coach used to tell me, he'd say, hey, you can see yourself stealing second base. See yourself doing it. And then, you know, what is he doing? He's wanting you to see what you can do. And I heard my dad say it many, many times. And you that have heard him preach it, see yourself well. See yourself with provision. How many of you ever heard him say that? I know a lot of you heard him say it because you sat in his classroom. Because I see who you are. See yourself. See, God wants you to see yourself in the promises of God like he sees you. He sees you with everything that this Bible says belongs to you. Anybody getting anything this morning? See, we need to have our eyes opened to the spiritual things. You know, Paul prayed a prayer in Ephesians 1:16. I want you to turn there. Ephesians 1:16. And it's the 17th verse that I want to get to, but this is Paul saying this. He's talking to the Ephesian church. Now here he says, making mention of you in my prayers. Now this is what he prayed, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he has worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now start with that 17th verse in the NLT. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in the knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. See, we need to pray this prayer for ourselves. You need to mark. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, you need to mark it. And you need to pray that prayer for yourself every day. You know, we need to have the insight of God. You see, it says here, God has put all things under his feet, made him the head of the church. Well, the head controls the body, right? The body can't do anything without the head. See, if you've never been born again and you haven't had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then none of this works. But if you've had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you've asked him into your heart and he's come into your heart, then you can do what the Bible says you can do. I want everybody to hold up your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you got the Word of God on. I want you to hold up and say, this is God's Word. I believe I can see God's word the way he sees it.
I believe
that I can do what he says I can do in this word.
I believe
I have everything that belongs to me in this word.
I believe.
And I thank him because he's opening my eyes to all spiritual things. He's opening my eyes to see the way into success in every natural situation that I come in contact with. I believe that I will have spiritual understanding that I've never had before, because the Word of God says I can. I believe that my eyes of understanding will be open like the servant's eyes were open, and he could see the spiritual forces that was there to protect him. I believe that my eyes can be open to see the spiritual forces that are there for me. Hallelujah. 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 We need to look at the way God sees things. I think my dad, if I remember correct, my dad started praying those prayers when I was in the second grade, and he prayed them every day, prayed that prayer every day for himself till the day he went home to be with the Lord. He did that, and he taught us to do it. And I read that prayer almost daily. I read that prayer. I've got, my wife bought me a little New Testament that's personalized. Anybody else got one of those? It's got my name in there, Ken. And so I read that, and it said, Ken's eyes will be open. Hallelujah. You need to put your name there. See, your eyes of understanding, just put Tom's eyes will be open. Jim's eyes will be open. Sue's eyes will be open. Mary's eyes will be open. Put your name in there. Hello. I believe that when I do this, I will see things differently than I've ever seen before. Hallelujah. I believe that I will see things that others can't see. I believe that I will see possibilities instead of problems. I believe a new life will open up to me that I've never seen before. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet and thank God that you're going to start seeing things the way God sees them. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us today, Father, to look and to see. Open our eyes of understanding and eyes of wisdom. Hallelujah to Jesus. With eyes closed, heads bowed. Like I said before, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't get in on all this. You have to accept him first. If you're in this place tonight, today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're in this place today, and you know what it is to serve God, but you know that you have sort of went the wrong direction. As one man said to me the other day, lost his faith, and you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord. If you're in here on any one of those invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. Let me see your hand right now so I can pray for you. Wherever you're at, anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, there's a hand over here. I think there's several hands that should come be raised, especially in some rededication that needs to be taking place. You've let your life slip. That's what I hear in the Spirit of God saying. You've let your life slip and you've slipped back from where you were. And you need to rededicate yourself and get back in the right position. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to raise your hand right now? I'm waiting on you. Anybody in this place? Anybody? There's another hand. I see it. Thank you. You can put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. The others that will raise their hand.